podcast for all your running needs.
Ned, he was a terminally happy guy. And Ned, he ate a moldy pumpkin pie. And Ned, he thought that he just couldn't die. And Ned, he laughed so hard that made me cry.
Welcome to the Run, Run, Live podcast, the podcast for runners, wannabe runners, and mid-packers of all shapes and sizes who just want to strap on their favorite pair of shoes and get out there. This is not Chris, your host. This is Corey.
And this is Mike, and we're guest announcing this week.
When you're done listening to the Run, Run, Live podcast, come visit me at realrookierunning.com, where we have our own running podcast for, yep, you guessed it, rookies.
I'll be there too.
So, wherever and whenever this episode finds you, I hope you're doing great. And I hope you're getting your run in today. I know I'm getting my run in. You ready to have some fun? Come on then. Let's go for a run.
It's 106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Hey, you don't watch that. Watch this. This is the heavy monster sound, the nuttiest sound around. So if you're coming off the street and you're beginning to feel the heat, well, listen, Buster, you better start to move your feet to the rockin'est Hump City beat of Inspector Seven. One step beyond.
Interviewing this morning. So how many Mill Cities relays have you run?
This will be, it's got to be like 8 or 9 for us, right? 10? Somewhere around there?
This is 6 for me, I think, because this will be my 4th running of this leg, and I ran the short one once, and I ran the anchor once.
I have pictures from 1996, I think, of running this, and it was like 5 degrees out. We ran it with the Malloys. I have pictures of me. I think that was before there was digital photography. I think all we had was rocks.
I was telling the guys in the car on the way up how hazardous this first leg is because I wasn't planning to run it.
Surprise!
I was like, hey, you got to watch out for the cars going off the road. And up by the Walmart, they run you down and you know, here
yeah,
you
there's
go.
Yeah, there's a couple of stoplights here that are a little questionable.
Yeah. They're informal. A little bit of anarchy.
Like you said, I like that about a race. Old school. Throw a line on the ground, say go.
It's Sunday morning. No one should be in a hurry in a car, right?
Right. So what are you planning on running? Sevens? 640s?
No 640s.
Sevens?
I'm injured, sick, slow, and out of shape, but I'll run. Okay, I did a test run of 6 miles on Friday morning, and I ran it at a, what did I do? I ran like a 740.
740?
But I wasn't running. I was just out racing. So something like 730?
No, you'll run sevens.
Here's the thing. All bets are off in this race because it might be a shuffle test.
Nah, you'll run sevens. I know you. You'll accelerate through the end.
I'll be in the 11th percentile. How about that?
The 11th percentile. Still playing that game, huh? They should create a new category for us, which is senior masters. Older than 45, younger than 50.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, I'll fall into that in a couple months.
Senior masters. Then we don't have to race all these 40-year-olds who haven't started losing their edge yet.
How about stale masters?
Stale masters. I like that. Slightly past their expiration date.
You see, we're on a mission from God.
Hey, this is Chris. Good morning. Welcome to episode 99 of the Run, Run, Live podcast. I'm glad to have you with me. I'm sitting in traffic because we're having a major snowstorm, and me, like an idiot, I overslept. I was planning to get up early and go to work and beat the traffic, but instead I'm right in the dead center of it. It's supposed to turn over to rain, but we got 4 or 5 inches on the ground. I'm a little bit worried that this is going to be one of those storms out by my house where we get the snow and then we get the rain on top of it, and then it freezes. And so we have this, like, you know, 3 inches of hardened ice, sort of evil creme brulee in the driveway that you can't get up, because the snowblower won't move that stuff. You basically got to hack at it with a shovel, a steel shovel. So I'm a little worried about that. But the Camry's pretty good in the snow. It's got this traction control that I would call sort of bad driver traction control. You know, with the truck, basically push and go, rear-wheel drive. I always dislike front-wheel drive cars because they don't do what I expect them to do. Because I grew up with rear-wheel drive cars, and you sort of feather the brakes and know when it's slipping, and you can work with it. But with this one, what it does, it's actually got some intelligent form of positive traction, where when you know, an inexperienced snow driver would hit the gas when it started slipping, and what this does is it actually keeps the wheels spinning at the same speed when it starts slipping. It sort of does on and off. It's really interesting. It's cool. So you can basically not know how to drive in the snow and still drive in the snow, because it'll keep moving. No matter what you do with the gas pedal, it'll keep moving. So that's interesting. Today, we're going to interview Catherine. Catherine is an expat from the UK who is currently working in Kenya. And we actually, it took us a while to coordinate this, but we actually hooked up over the phone, her from Kenya, me from wherever it is that I live, and we talked about this program she's doing with street children, and it's very interesting. So you want to consider looking that up and maybe making the connection with Catherine, because it's very interesting. Big news yesterday. Got my entry for the Boston Marathon, so I'm running this year. I ended up just asking for help. I asked for help, and they helped me. So there you go. And it's a qualified entry. I earned it. Not a real fast time. I had to use a qualifier from 2008, which was a 3:29 qualifier. And that, you know, I'm interested to see whether that puts me back into the second wave or not. But it'll be cool. I like doing it, so it'll be cool. And now I got to qualify for 2011. The other big thing that is going on this week is I discovered this week and last week that I can qualify for the New York City Marathon and avoid the lottery. I can qualify for it by running a 130 half marathon at my age. And that's not too far outside of my ability. I think I can actually do that. So, and I'm in really good, I don't know why, but I've been having some really good training and some really good races. So, you know, you never know when you're going to feel good, so you might as well take advantage of it when you do. You know, I was just thinking about it. It's been 3 years since I've been injured, and I've been doing all this non-running cross-training, you know, mountain biking, hill work, ultra marathons. And if you think about it, that's kind of a base building activity, plus throwing in a bunch of slow marathons. It's sort of a base building activity, so it sort of makes sense. But it's not like I went out and planned to have this peak of fitness right now. So I've been working real hard on my training runs. We got new treadmills at work, and it's a down week for me, but next week I'm going to try to throw in doubles. I'm going to try to run in the morning and then run at lunch or in the evening. So run like 4 miles in the morning and then do my workouts on the treadmill in the gym at lunch or in the evening, and just see if I can get up over 50 miles, 60 miles, just load some miles in and see how my body responds. Because if I start popping up some tendonitis, then I'll know that's not a good strategy. My hips are a little sore, but other than that, I feel good, and I'm not doing any stretching at all. I'm being really bad. So, 100th episode, I've got a lot of submissions for people sending me stuff. Frankly, haven't listened to them all, but I will, and I'll cobble something cool together. You still got time if you can get this in before I go to press. This one's going to take me a while, so I'm going to be working on it all week. So if you slide something in, I might be able to get it in this week, and that's going to go up on the Friday following this. So, hey, thanks for hanging out with me all these years and all these episodes. It's pretty cool. I got a project on my list to go back through the first 50 or so episodes, which I've removed from Libsyn. You can still get them on my website, but they're pretty poor audio quality. I'm going to go back through, and I'm going to break all the pieces out. I'm going to remaster them so they're more listenable, and put those up for you guys to have. So, all right. Love ya. On with the show.
And now for the equipment check.
Hi, Chris. I really enjoy your podcast, and I thought I'd put in some input. Well, I wanted to give you a review on headphones. I know a lot of people out there use a lot of different kinds of headphones. I go through them all the time. I just got a pair of the Beats Inner Ear by Monster. These headphones are great. They sound great. Actual earpiece device protrudes quite a bit, goes in your ear. I do not recommend it for running. If you're an iPod listener, do not buy these to run. The cord is way too heavy. They may sound good, but they move out of your ear and as far in as they can go, which is pretty deep, they're not worth it. The cost, about $150, is not worth the value you get for running. However, to use on the beach and to hang out, good quality. I prefer my Bose. Just came out with a new Bose set that actually has a microphone that is really good if you run with an iPhone or your phone as your MP3 player. I am a big iPod listener during my runs, so yes, I do iPod. I have a new device just came in today, the Motorola wireless Bluetooth headset. I'm going to give that a try. Doesn't seem very comfortable to run in, but let's see. Sound quality's good. I'll give you a review on that one. The other question I had was when to sustain from having intimate relationships. I'm being very nice for the younger listeners. But when is a good time to do or not to do when you're training or about to run a marathon? My marathon's in a few weeks, so I am not to do right now. But I wanted your input on that. I think this is a big one for people that are training or running. I notice that when I do, which that didn't sound quite right, something, it tends to slow me down significantly by quite a bit per mile. So you let me know. Thanks, Chris. Have a good one. Esteban Torres, Kissimmee, Florida.
Well, Esteban, that certainly qualifies as an equipment question. Seriously, first, I think you might be pulling my leg. Second, I'm definitely the wrong person to answer this question with any authority, but I have heard this discussed many times, and it's interesting that you think you're seeing some sort of negative impact, because the consensus from the men, at least, who I've talked to, say that there is no discernible impact, and some coaches even say that it's better before a marathon. In the time leading up to a marathon, it's a good thing because it will relieve some of the pre-marathon stress and it'll relax you and put you in a better mood. And I'm not even going to attempt to speak for the ladies out there. Maybe someone can phone in their opinion for me on that. But clearly you must be putting in some epic effort into these pre-race shenanigans to have it so negatively impact your performance. Good for you. You know, bottom line, from everything I've read, heard, and experienced, it doesn't do any damage, but it's up to you, man. Be safe out there.
And now for our featured interview.
Catherine.
Hi, how are you, Chris?
Good. You're back.
I am.
On the line with us today, we have the great privilege of speaking with Catherine, who is in Kenya right now as we speak. So we lined up our schedules to talk about the fantastic work that Catherine's doing in Kenya with street children. And there's a running tie-in as well. So, Catherine, why don't you give us the explanation of what it is you're doing and how you're having an impact here?
Okay, no problem. I'm grateful to be on the air and very grateful for this opportunity. I've been based in Kenya for the past year working with a street children organization called Action for Children in Conflict. And we work with street children and their families, trying to get them off the street and either back into school and back in with their family, or preferably looking at preventing them going to the street in the first place. So we have a huge range of projects going on, looking at school dropout prevention, looking at school feeding, trying to actually go out on the street and find out what the root causes are that take children out to the street, while also looking at the legal issues. So if there are any child abuse cases, we try and deal with that with our legal team who we have working for our charity. But the key part we also have is a rehabilitation center, which is where I've been living for the past year, where we work with about 25 street boys who come to us for about 6 to 9 months while we work with them to trace their family, find out what they want to do next, and get them preferably back into education. And it's in this project that the running club first started about a year ago to the day. As I came out to Kenya to start working with the charity, already a keen runner and had already run a couple of marathons in the UK, and I was very keen to keep running, but I wasn't sure if safety would allow me to keep running. So I thought of the idea of actually including the children and setting up a running club, as I felt like they needed the opportunity to learn how to kind of get structure back into their life and learn how to start working in a time frame, particularly if they want to go back to school. And we also want to try and improve their health, because currently they've been living on the street. They were sniffing glue and using various other drugs, possibly alcohol, and certainly having very poor nutrition. So we wanted to give them an opportunity to get fitter and stronger, and also to start setting goals for themselves and targets, which I know from being a runner that you have to do, or you can do on a regular basis. And we've now been going for 1 year, so it's been an amazing opportunity to work with Kenyan boys in a country where they have an incredible reputation for running already.
Right. In Kenya, there's already this culture of running that you can leverage to use to rebuild the psychology of the street children so that they can have more confidence and be more successful in school and work, right?
Absolutely. That's been a huge part of it, because when I came to Kenya, I was quite excited already about the fact that so many world-class runners come from here, but that was more a personal interest. But when I realized that you're dealing with particularly teenage boys here who have the potential to follow in the footsteps of some of those great runners, but they have very, very low self-esteem, very, very low confidence, they don't believe they can actually achieve anything. And running is a very simple way of being able to set goals that you can easily meet for any standard, whether it's trying to set a goal to run for 5 minutes or whether you're aiming for a long-distance event. So it's been wonderful to watch them gaining confidence. And I realize I'm actually surrounded by some potentially fantastic runners who I would like to see if they could go further once they're back into school.
And the running has a lot of the same disciplines that you need in everyday life, like getting up early, like being able to push through difficulties and having a routine.
Absolutely. There's something about street life that takes away all kinds of structure, and there's no discipline. It's a very kind of wild life. And the problem for those children is that if they want to return to school and they want to reconnect with their family, they have to get back into some kind of structure, however loose that is. And so it's kind of a roundabout way of teaching them the importance of working within a timetable again, because we get up usually at about 5:30 and we're out running by about 6 o'clock in the morning. And I know to a lot of people that seems very early, but in the Kenyan school system that's very common that they'd have to do that. So it's been a fun way of getting them up early and actually getting them engaged in some kind of timetable again.
Right, which prepares them for school.
Yeah, absolutely. And the problem is that if they go back to school and they can't stick with the timetable, they'll be kicked out of school and potentially go back to the street. So it's been an interesting learning curve to see that this actually helps them when they return to school. And they specifically ask their teachers as well if they can keep running when they go to school, which is very satisfying for us.
Yes, what I like about your program when I was reading your reports is that you're not just giving people, you're not just giving people food, you're giving you're giving the ability and the life skills to do something better.
Absolutely. There's a big motivation in the charity that people have the solutions for themselves, and it's not our place to go and sort of lecture people or tell them how they should live their life. All we can do is offer them options and support networks which they can choose to plug into as and when they like. And, for example, the boys in the center, they come voluntarily and they stay voluntarily, so there's no sense of force. They're not institutionalized. They're very much encouraged to be themselves and to make their own decisions. And if the decision is to go back to the street, then we will advise them of other options because we prefer them not to, but we'd never force them to stay anywhere.
Right. So describe the environment there, the physical environment. What's it like where you are in Kenya?
Yeah, the town I'm in is called Sika, and it's about 40 kilometers from Nairobi, from the capital. And it's a very industrial town. It's practically part of Nairobi now because it's growing so fast, which means that there's massive poverty here, but also side by side with that, quite a lot of wealth, which makes it even more problematic if you are on the poor end of the scale. Because a lot of money is pumping into the town, so some banks are popping up and some quite fancy hotels and restaurants. But next door to that will be a massive slum, particularly one called Kiandutu near us, which has a huge population of people coming to look for work, and to look for more opportunities because they're nearer to the big capital city. But the reality is that you've got an industrial town where you can't grow things for yourself. So if you're looking to survive by planting perhaps some crops or some vegetables, there's no land to do that. So it's actually more difficult to be poor here than it would be in the countryside or in rural areas. So it's quite a sort of a dog-eat-dog culture around here. And it's a reasonably friendly town, but only if you're not living on the street and only if you're not living in the slum.
So how do these boys end up on the street?
There's a mixture of reasons. Poverty is certainly a major issue because a lot of them, they just couldn't get enough food at home. So they were either, they ran away to go and look for food and to find a better life, or they decided that they have to go and work and take money back to their family. So you have children as young as 4 or 5 on the street who are literally just waiting to get food or looking for food. They engage in a lot of child labour activities to try and find money. And that can be extremely dangerous for them. And the other reason might be abuse or neglect. They simply run away because they're treated badly at home. They decide to go and find a life somewhere else. And also peer pressure. It often happens that in school holidays, it's quite a dangerous time when children might go to the street because their friends tell them that it's fun and that you can get drugs and things like that on the street. But what they realize is that once they go there, they can't get off because they become sort of tied in with a web of perhaps gang culture, or perhaps some very strong older street boys who encourage them to stay and perhaps blackmail them to stay. So it becomes quite a vicious cycle if they choose to go to the street in the first place. But it's quite a complicated process. It takes them there often.
So you've had great success in getting boys off the street with your programs and actually impacting the local geopolitical and local economic scene, because when you get these boys off the street, you're removing sort of a political element off the streets as well that causes unrest.
Yeah, it's very true. I mean, in the past 4 or 5 years or so, we've noticed through a series of street censuses where we go out and actually collect data about street children that the numbers have more than halved. And that's the only place in Kenya where we have any evidence of that happening. But I think there's a lot of crucial factors in there, because after the post-election violence last year, it was very clear that young, unemployed, frustrated men and women, but particularly men in this case, would often turn to crime or be pulled into quite violent activity because they have nothing else in their life. So we feel that when we can help children to leave the street or prevent them from ever getting there, which is definitely the preferable option, we can actually bring some calm to their lives and prevent them actually getting into any kind of violent behavior. And I think with the tribalism in Kenya, there's definitely a high risk of this happening again when the next elections come in 2012. So we're even more dedicated to making sure that children have a much more productive and healthy future ahead of them.
How are you guys funded? And give us your links and how people can help you.
Okay. Well, at the moment, we're running on a shoestring budget, which is why we're all working incredibly long hours, because we have a staff of about 18 people, the majority, 16 of who come from the local area. And so the funding that we bring in is majority coming from the West, from the US, from mainland Europe and from the States. And so we rely a lot on individual donors, many of whom have come to visit our work and then become a supporter. And we also look for support from trusts and foundations, particularly in the UK, which is where I'm from, so I have better connections there. But I'm also a dual national American English, so I'm looking to tap into the American network of trusts and foundations if possible. And we're also very interested in looking at the sustainability of the charity. And to do that, you need to generate your own income. So we're looking at developing a few business-orientated streams, perhaps selling craft work that we can produce within our charity, or looking at other options, for example, having a minibus that we can hire out, or looking at having some property that we could perhaps rent out, because we feel at the moment like we are very much constantly looking for funding. And so we find that once we can get more publicity out and more people are interested, it becomes a lot easier for us to do our work.
You know, we've got a spring marathon season coming up in the UK and the US. Maybe you can have people run their London Marathon or their Boston Marathon for you.
That would be really wonderful. We have, the last time I did a marathon, I did it to AFKIC, and I'd really appreciate anybody who is willing to run any races in aid of us, because it raises our profile, but also we have the running club going on in our organization. So there's a very direct link with anybody who's keen on running. And on our website, there's a lot of details there about how people can support us. And also, if people would like to contact me directly, they can perhaps get my email address to you, if that's possible. And I'd be really happy to talk to you any options that they're interested in.
Sure. And give us the website address.
The website is www.actionchildren.org. So it's all one word, Action Children.
Tell me a story about an individual boy or an individual success story that you have brought in this year.
Actually, I have a one that's very real to me right now, because just yesterday I was invited by a former boy who lived in our center to attend his graduation ceremony at his school. And the most moving thing about this is that he had lived on the street for quite a long time. His name is Jack, and he'd probably been on the street for about 3 years on and off because his home life was so disturbed and so unsettled. And his mum was very much unable to look after him, and his dad was no longer on the scene. So when we found him, he'd been on the street for about 3 years, came back to us, and we realized during the 6-7 months that he lived with us that he had no education behind him, and yet he was 13 years old. So we wondered what was possible for him, and he decided single-handedly that he would return and go to nursery school, which would mean that he'd be studying with students who were sort of 5-6 years old, and yet he was 13. And we were very worried about whether he could actually continue with that and commit to the program, because without it, we knew he couldn't go to primary school, but we also felt like it would be a very difficult choice for him. And actually yesterday, I went to his graduation when he completed nursery school, which means that he can now access primary school and actually get the qualifications that he needs to go on to get a job. And I feel hugely moved by it still, because to go to the graduation and see him as someone twice the height of his fellow pupils was incredible, and he was extremely proud of having completed. And we're now looking to move him forward into primary school, and hopefully he can move forward much faster now he's regaining so much of his confidence, now he knows that he can actually achieve in an education system. So that's just kind of one example that's particularly moved me. And he was also a member of my running club, so I feel quite a vested interest to watch his progress.
That's great. And it's even better, because he was somebody who, you know, most people would have written off as being too old for the programs, right?
Absolutely. I think most charities that I've come across would have said to him, you know, that's probably it for you in school, and we'll look for another alternative, or put him into a children's home. And children's homes can be very effective, but they can also limit a child's opportunities. Whereas by giving him the choice, and for him to say, actually, I'm going to go to nursery school, he took the choice back in his life, and he took the control back. And I think for me, it will be a story that I'm never going to forget, because seeing the look on his face at the graduation said it all for me.
So what's the countryside like there? What's the geography, the topography? We hear a lot about Kenya and the environment there. What's it like there?
For me, it's stunning. It's the reason why I ended up staying for over a year now, because it's an absolutely beautiful country. The landscape is so mixed. Because you have a tropical coastline, which is hot and humid and very much like your traditional paradise-looking beach. And at the same time, you have a very mountainous area with one of the second highest mountains in Africa, Mount Kenya, where you still have snow on the top of the mountain, which I find hard to believe in a country this hot. And you also have a major lake region with the Rift Valley of Kenya cutting down through the west, which is quite an epic rift cut through the country. So you have a lot of former volcanoes, you have some beautiful lakes, and some beautiful kind of savanna country when you move down further to the Masai Mara, which is the famous national park. And you have then the kind of wealth of wildlife, with all the traditional Kenyan wildlife like lions and rhino and hippos. And I feel hugely lucky that I'm in a country where I get to do this kind of work, but also then travel off at a weekend and suddenly be in the middle of a national park looking at sort of a pride of lions walking past.
Yeah, you have to run fast, outrun a lion.
Oh, you really do. I'm actually looking at a half marathon next year, which is in a conservancy, and I've heard that just before the half marathon they have to sweep it to keep all the rhinos and the various big cats out of the way. So I think that's going to be quite an incentive to run faster.
That's great. So, all right, well, Hopefully we can send some interested people in your direction, somebody who wants to go over and do some good and go over and run with you in Kenya.
That would be wonderful, and I'm very happy if anyone would like to see any pictures or get into some more communication, that's fine too.
So what I'll do is I'll have your contact information in my show notes, and so if people want to get that, they can get that, or they can contact me. Everybody knows how to contact me.
That's
all right.
Thank you so much for doing this, though. I really appreciate it.
No, it was great. This is so cool. I hardly ever get to talk to people in Africa.
Well, I was so happy when you came across you on Twitter, because I hadn't thought about tapping into the running community at all, and I've been a keen runner for so many years that it's been an absolute blessing to be able to do the running here.
Sure. It's a very strong community across the world.
Yeah. Oh. It's really exciting.
Okay, we'll let you go then. Good luck. Have a nice evening.
Thank you. Have a good day in that case.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye, Chris.
Four fried chickens and a Coke.
And some dry white toast, please.
All right, buddy. Put this down. Oh, that doesn't stand up. We'll put it right there. For maximum acoustics, a little bit of a frog in the throat this morning. Bad day to oversleep, buddy. 4 inches of snow and it's coming, and I'm about to head off into rush hour traffic. But you know what I say? I say, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Dude, I can't hear you without your collar on. You don't make any noise. You're the stealth dog. That worries me. What are you up to?
Well, when we finally said goodnight, how I hate going out in the storm. And with you here holding me tight.
Is the laptop bag sound?
All the way home I'll be warm, and the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is just delightful, and there's really no place to go except work in rush hour traffic, so let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
I'd much rather stay home and play with you, dude, but I gotta go, man. I got clients. See ya.
Here's today's quick tips.
Okay, well, I got this note from Dane, and Dane says, I'm a middle-aged man who has been running consistently for about 4 years, and I have a running question that I would like to address to you. Well, you've come to the right place. Hopefully it's not about running and sex like Esteban's was. I have been looking around for some answers, and basically he goes on to say the question is about the off-season. Do I need to take a break or back off? I like to run about 6 days a week, 50 miles or so. Last season I ran 4 marathons and 2 50Ks. Yeah, that's pretty good. And you heard somebody say the off-season is simply when you aren't training for anything specific and you don't necessarily have to stop running or back off the intensity. My opinion would be, it's a good question, first of all, and I think I responded to you already offline, but for me, there really isn't a completely off season when you sit around and do nothing. You really don't want to do that, especially if you're older. You lose your fitness so fast that you really want to maintain a level. I mean, you can take it back a little bit. You can lose 3 months of training in 3 weeks of sitting around doing nothing. So you really got to keep doing something. But that being said, there's a couple things you can do in the off season to keep yourself fit, keep the fire burning. One of the things you can do, of course, like you said, is lower the volume of your miles. But try to get at least one quality workout in a week, something reasonably challenging like hills or tempo or just something where you bring the heart rate up and get a little bit uncomfortable so you don't lose your edge. And the other thing that I like to do is also throw in one long run. And typically for me, that's like 2+ hours every other week or, you know, at least once a month. Get out there and get beyond the wall. Get beyond your glycogen barrier, and just so you don't lose that ability to run through the wall. It's a good opportunity in the off season to work on other stuff, to cross train, work on strength and conditioning, flexibility. Go sign yourself up for a yoga class or a weightlifting or powerlifting or any of those cool things to work and strengthen your body, get your core going, because your running is going to be better when you start up again, and you'll have less injuries. And you know me, the other thing I do is I try to mix it up. I don't do just running campaigns. I chunk up the year into 2 to 3 to 4 month campaigns where I'm training for some specific event. And that event could be the marathon. It could be a long trail race or an ultra. It could be a mountain bike ultra. This year we had that crazy Ragnar Relay Ultra. You know, so I'm training, but training differently all through the year, and it keeps it fresh. And I learn something, too, and that's real important to me, to learn something. So I try to do new things. So if I see some wacky event, I'll have to train and go outside myself and learn something, not just train, to keep it interesting. So I hope that helped. Thanks for reaching out, and keep on working. You sound like a wily old veteran for only having run 4 years.
Illinois Nazis. I hate Illinois Nazis.
Use of unnecessary violence in the apprehension of the Blues Brothers has been approved.
Dun, da-da-da! Wait, where's my file? There it is. That's it. We're done here. Time to go. Go on, go home. Movie's over. Move along. Nothing more to see. Bon Nacht. Konnichiwa. Episode 99 of the Run, Run, Live podcast in the can. So if you are a new listener, yeah, that's right. I just put on this show of random stuff wrapped around a good interview. But hey, it's entertaining sometimes. Next week is the 100th episode. And in our century of shows, I've been trying to guilt people into submitting their best advice so we can listen to someone else besides me, and that way I don't have to actually do any work. We'll pull something together. I also interview Ray Zahab from the Run Sahara movie. Pretty cool interview. Long one, too. And after that is episode 101, as we prance merrily into the triple digits. Had a killer week so far. Here it is, Thursday night. It's 8 p.m., and I'm still in my office working on this. I just wrapped up a nice tempo workout down in the gym on the new treadmills. I did a 6-mile progression run where I ran the first 2 miles at a 7:30 pace, dropped to 7 even for the next two, and then kicked in the last two at sub 6:30 pace. And it felt pretty good. I mean, it was work. I was making a lot of noise, but it felt pretty good. So, and Tuesday I did a set of 5 1600s at a 6:28 pace, and that was on top of a pretty strong 9.5-mile relay leg on Sunday. So, yeah, I'm feeling pretty blessed right now. I was the main presenter in a hour or so long webinar at work today, and I really threw myself into it with a ton of energy, a ton of passion. And if you're going to give a presentation, err on the side of energy and passion. It's much more interesting than just having somebody read the slides and be safe. You know, throw your emotion into it. Keep the people engaged. I love presenting. I heard an interesting interview this week where they were talking about, somehow they got on to talking about Dale Carnegie's advice. And one of the things that Dale taught in his wonderful book, How to Make Friends and Influence People, at 80 years old, is still a great read. It's actually kind of funny now, too. And one of the things he taught was to find something to compliment everyone on, right? Find a way to tell someone you think they do something really well. You know, look for an opportunity to call them out on it. And you'll have added to the, you know, the positive karma pile and made a friend as well. And that really hit home for me because if it's pure simplicity, just this one simple act can make your world a better place. And that good karma will come back to you when you least expect it. Think about that this next couple of weeks while you're watching It's a Wonderful World on TV. Start with your family. Find something small to compliment them about, and don't expect to get anything back in return. It'll come back in time. And I'll be sure to say something nice, give you a small but sincere compliment when I see you out there. Music tonight to take you out is African music. See, as isolated as I am, I do have access to more than just rhythm and blues. It's by a group called African Cream Kids, and the song is Under the African Skies, and can be found on the PodSafe Music Network. Ciao.
I am an African with an open heart and a rainbow-colored skin. And I fit in, 'cause I live under African skies.
I live under African skies. This is where I know the Africa. I am an African, and I know I inhabit this part of the planet where the sun shines down and the days are long, and I live under African skies.
I live under African skies. where I belong. I'm an African.
I am an African.
With a smile outside, a smile within, and I'm always home, no matter where I've been.
Where
I live under African skies.
Hi, 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 Africa.
Yeah. I live under African skies.
Hi, 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 Africa.
This is where I belong.
Thanks for listening to the Run Run Live podcast. Comments and suggestions can be made on our listener comment line at 206-339-7804 or via email at chrisrunner@runrunlive.com. That's our website. Go to the website, check it out for articles and my blog and other great stuff. If you would like to be on the show or have a suggestion as someone you would like me to have on the show, drop me a line and I will see you out there.
Run, run, live. The podcast for all your running needs.